As I said earlier, as we began the service, it is good to see everyone back this evening. And as was announced this morning and it is listed in our bulletins, we're going to talk about the power of logical faith. Now, the concept and the idea of power is not new to us. We understand power and what it means and perhaps how sometimes it can be used. And this idea of power is often used in a number of different ways. Men understand it because they think about tools and the power that they'll produce. And even a comedy series was presented based upon power. Everybody remembers Tim the Tool Man and his quest for power. We want more power. The manly approach to it and everything. And we need power in our lives, but we need to use power the proper way. Our text this evening is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 6, and a very fitting one it is. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. I think I said 8 through 6, and I saw the looks on everybody's face. I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, and it is a very fitting scripture because we're talking about the power of a logical faith. The power of logical faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our text not only begins the chapter that deals with faith, contains, as some have termed it, the honor roll of the faithful, but it also gives us the definition, the divine definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, this does not mean that all will understand faith or how it works, or for that matter, from whence it comes. Oftentimes, people claim to have faith or they claim to have belief in something and they're not sure why they believed it. Now, as we come into this world, we are introduced to things by our parents, and sometimes we believe things because our parents believe those things. Maybe that works in some areas, but not when it comes to the Word of God, because once we become to the age of accountability, then we are responsible to understand why it is that we believe what we believe, and why it is that we should be able to give unto every man an answer of the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. But 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us one thing which is not the source of our faith. This is when the Apostle Peter was directed by the Spirit to write in this general epistle, and he informed them and told them about the place where they received this was not cunningly devised fables. The Bible is not something that was just made up. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter and the other apostles were not those who received information second and third hand. They were there with Christ. They spent time with him. They dwelt with him. They saw him crucified. They were with him after his coming forth from the grave. They witnessed, they saw him ascend into the heavens. And they followed the commandment of Jesus when he told them to go into Jerusalem and wait until you receive power from on high. They received the power from on high, and that power, the Holy Spirit, was what told them and the message he gave them to deliver on that Pentecost morning. And it was the same Holy Spirit delivering this message to Peter that he wrote, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We've made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we know the source of our faith. Why do you believe what you believe? And is it logical? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is very clear on the source of our faith. In fact, if we believe anything, and if we practice anything, we ought to be able to go to the Word of God. If we don't have a "thus saith the Lord," we are not to believe it. We are not to practice it. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We need to understand that without the Word of God, we would not be able to believe, nor believe properly. But it also tells us how we are to believe it, by hearing, and what we are to hear, the Word of God. Faith in God, faith to do what His Word directs, comes only from hearing and reading the Word of God. And when we have that faith, we can have power. And that's why we're looking into the power of logical faith. We're going to go back into the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 36 and 37, we'll see that power comes from faith. You must believe. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to believe, or possible to please God. But you've got to be able to believe. We see in this particular situation that David had faith. He believed in God. He believed in the power that God has, and that God would be with him as he faced the things of this life. He believed the Word of God, and from this he derived power. We see there, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." The situation is that we have this giant, and the Bible depicts him as being so many cubits high, and if you do the math, based the cubit on 18 inches, you'll find out he was about 9 feet tall. And people say, "That's impossible." Really? Do you know that there have been skeletons found, actual skeletons, that were almost 9 feet tall? It's not impossible. Oh, it's rare. But think about such an imposing enemy. Now imagine yourself as a lad, let's say 16, 17 years old, and you're called upon to face such an opponent. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And this was not just an idle boast. I have people all the time say, "Oh, you know what the Bible says? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But then, where's the proof of it? Here's the proof of a lad making a proclamation. "The Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Here's the king then saying to this young lad, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David knew the power of God. He had already experienced, if you will, the power of God. And he went, and he had that power because he had faith, because he understood the power of God and where it came from. We also have, from the Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, definitions. A lot of times we need to break things down to where we understand each of its parts so that we understand what is being said. And the best way to do this is to define the words that we find there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need to define substance, and we need to define evidence. Substance, defined, is that which underlies the apparent. Confidence, That of which something consists. Now, what does faith consist of? Well, according to this, it consists of the things hoped for. But what about evidence? The definition for evidence is conviction, certain persuasion or proof. Things not seen. Do you know that God has provided things for us that we have not seen? And how do we know it? His Word tells us. And if we believe His Word, then we have hope. And therefore, our faith begins to work. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 20, speaking of the children of God who refused to obey His Word, we find out what God had to say about them, regarding them. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20, we know that God was dealing with Israel. That was His people under the Old Testament. Those to whom He had written a law, those to whom He had directed, those to whom He had taken them out of Egyptian bondage. And because of unbelief, they were wandering in the wilderness. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation. Children in whom is no faith. Notice a few things about this particular passage. Number one, He continued to call them children. They were His children. When a person becomes a child of God, they always are a child of God. That doesn't mean they're always in His favor. But they're still His children. When those who were born into the descendancy or the line of Abraham always remained children, but it is what they did while they were children which helps them in their relationship with God. They had ceased following God's Word. In other words, they had no faith. They didn't believe. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us something about faith. It tells us, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what does this mean? Take the definitions that we found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and apply it here. And the information that we have in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20, and apply it here. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But what does it mean? Is it even logical, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith? Does this mean from the Mosaic faith to the Christian faith? You'd be surprised at the people that think that's exactly what it means. Well, let me ask you this question. Was God's righteousness known to the Jews? Was God's goodness known to the Jews? Yes, it was. And it was known to the Jews before they had a law. And I can prove it. God, out of the midst of a burning bush, spoke to Moses. And He said to Moses, who, by the way, was an Israelite, He said, I want you to go and I want you to speak to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him to let My people go. Now that's goodness. But when did they receive the law? If I remember correctly, it was after they left Egyptian bondage. God's righteousness was apparent even before there was law. So it can't mean that. Righteousness here means justification. And justification can only be revealed through the gospel. And so hearing the Word is what brings us to understand how to be justified. I've had someone one time explain justification, or the word justified is just as if I have never sinned. And when a person hears the Word of God and obeys the Word of God, and in so doing is baptized into Christ, when they come up out of that watery grave of baptism, it's just as if they've never sinned. That's why the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Only the blood of Christ can provide justification. Only the blood of Christ can provide salvation. And it's only through His Word how we can know how to be saved. But faith does a lot more than that. It also helps us to understand creation. You know, as you look out, we were on the road today on the way to services, and we noticed that with the new moisture that we have, all of a sudden the leaves have turned, and the ones that were drab and just kind of nondescript, all of a sudden there's some vivid orange and red in there. We think, wow, you know, it's beautiful. Look at what God has done. I saw on the Weather Channel this morning a picture that someone took somewhere in Colorado, and they were on a mountain and they were looking out, and it said a sea of clouds. Now it was time-lapse photography, and it looked like the clouds were rolling, but they were so thick, and everything above was pure and beautiful, blue skies, and the cloud looked like a sea. And we say, yes, God created that. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've already discussed that. We've already looked at it. Verse 2, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, for through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, I don't have to go to school and study science, because the Bible already tells me. And God said, let there be light. God separated the waters from the land. He did all of these things, and He tells us the time frame in which He did it. And I believe it, because God's Word says it. But we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Now, some other terms that we need to investigate. What does the word understand mean? It means to perceive or to observe. You know, I can look upon God's creation all over this world, if I were able to go to all over this world, and I can see the magnificent things that He has created. And so I would then understand that they exist. Somebody says, well, how do you know things exist? I have never seen Mount Rushmore. But I have all faith that it's there. But what about all of the things that God has created? I understand that they are there because I have faith that the Bible says that God created them and put them there. The word framed there, it means to establish, to set up, to prepare. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. They were established. They were set up. They were prepared for humanity. And they were made. What does that mean? It equals to begin to be or to come into existence. How could we know how any of this happened without God's Word? I'll tell you what happens. Man says, let me see if I can figure it out. And the next thing you know, we've got millions and millions of, or is it billions now? I'm not sure. Of years that it took for something to happen. One of the beauties of technology is what they can do nowadays. And without me even asking to do so, on my computer screen I have a different picture every couple of days. And I've requested that it be pictures of nature. And I see these rock formations. And I see these windswept hills. And I see these things. And there's usually an explanation to go with it. And 9 times out of 10, it says these were carved over billions of years. I don't think so. Because the earth has not been here that long. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 settles it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do we simply believe this because we can see the heavens, the stars, the universe, and the earth? Then what are we to do about the things that we cannot see? How are we to believe them? When you talk about heaven, it's a place that we all should want to go. Have we ever seen it? Has anybody? No. Do we believe it? Why? because God's word says so. Logical faith also helps us to worship correctly. So much could be said about this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Have you ever wondered why it is that his sacrifice was accepted and his brother's was not? And somebody says, well, where's the law that said that one is to worship one way, or one is to offer this for a sacrifice back then? Well, there had to be a law, because if there was not direction as to that, then both of those sacrifices would have been equally acceptable. And then we see, as we continue to read that, by which, meaning by his faith, he, speaking of Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous. He did what was good. He did what was proper. He did what was correct to do. God testifying of his gifts. Listen, if you want approval of anyone, you can't get any more higher approval than what Abel got. Because God accepted his offering. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. As we read Genesis chapter 22:5, let us ask ourselves how it was that Abraham knew what to do as he and the lad went yonder and worshipped. And we all remember the story, how that he was told to take his son and take him to a particular place and to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, this was a child who was promised to him when he was 99 years old, who was born when he was 100 years old, a single child of promise. And as we turn to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, and we see what Abraham said unto the young men, those who were his servants, those who traveled with him, those who helped them to get to where they needed to be. Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham had logical faith because he adhered to the word of God. Notice the verbiage there. I and the lad will go there yonder and worship. Now, what were they supposed to do when they went there and worshiped? He was supposed to sacrifice his son. Even the boy understood that, because he said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Oh, Abraham said, God will provide. And he did. And he provided. But Abraham also knew that if God had been able to give him a son in that advanced age, that he would be able to raise that son from the dead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 23 shows that a lack of logical faith, which comes from the word of God, produces ignorant worship. Remember, we're talking about worship here. And there's a lot of ignorant worship going on in this country today with religious bodies in various places where they meet. And why does that ignorant worship exist? It's because a lack of a knowledge of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit, had these things to say. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. What did he declare? The word of God. To instill in them faith, so that they too would know God. We also know what Jesus said about how we are to worship in John chapter 4 and verse 24. He's talking about a future time. You know, the question was with the Samaritans about whether or not to worship there in Mount Gerizim, or the Israelites to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, how can we do that without the word and which the Spirit brought to us? And when it says spirit there, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. The word truth covers that. We've got to have the right mindset, the right attitude, in spirit and in truth. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit, brought us the truth. But we have to approach it with the right spirit, the right frame of mind. And if we don't know that word, we can't do that. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63 about his word and what they bring about, his words. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit and they are the life." And these words that have been given to us also help us to understand how to worship properly. Logical faith not only helps us to worship properly, but also helps us to walk pleasingly. Again, we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 again, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Understand that what happened is that Enoch was taken. I hear all the time people say, you know, when the Lord decides to take me, phew, you think pretty highly of yourself, don't you? And why would I say such a thing? Notice why it was. He was translated that he should not see death. And the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all going to face the grim reaper. But Enoch did not. Why? Because he pleased God. He walked with God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know what? Best I can determine that at the time that Noah started building the ark, it hadn't rained yet. And now here's this nut building an ark, a boat up in the mountains, and telling people it's going to rain and the deep is going to be opened up and everything's going to be flooded. And all you got to do is get on the boat. By faith. Where did he get that faith? By the word of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Notice, the command was not, go to such and such a place, turn left at the big rock, and I'm going to give you all of this for an inheritance. No, 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 no. Go. That's the command. That's the word of God. And he obeyed, not knowing where he was going, because he had faith. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And it tells us why. Because he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And we can read on and on about this faith. She was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. God had promised. They believed. And so it helps us to walk pleasingly. When God says do it, that settles it. That's it. Logical faith also helps us to endure patiently. Now there's one thing about living here on this earth, even this wonderful, beautiful place which God has provided for us. He never promised us it was going to be an easy time or an easy period. People think sometimes that God is not with us because we have it rough. Because things don't go our way, because we have sickness, because we have illness, because we have trials and tribulation. Listen, we brought that on ourselves. Man did. But it helps us to endure patiently. As we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. These all died in faith. Talking about those that previously had been mentioned. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But look at verse 16. And this is key. But now they desire a better country. That is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, only those who have a logical faith and act upon that faith based upon the word of God will ever see that holy city. Let me say that again. Only those who have a logical faith and act upon that faith based upon the Word of God will ever see that holy city. And it's not an idea that's brand new with the New Testament. Look, we can see in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And remember that this is not just what a person decides that they're going to believe. As we go through this life, we can believe different things. I know, having believed a set of rules, a doctrine, previously to being taught the truth. But faith, true faith, only comes from the Word of God. And while we're here, we must also be willing to stand up for that faith. How much do you believe it? Are you willing to contend for it? And that's what the Spirit had Jude write in Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for it. For what? For the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And if you look into that passage, you'll see that it's talking about the Word of God. The instruction, the direction that we find therein. That it is given to us as the power of God unto salvation to direct us from earth to heaven. Where's that faith come from? Can't stress it enough. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we translate this, or if we look at this so that we can better understand it, you cannot have faith unless you go to the Word of God. And if faith comes by hearing God's Word, we understand to be obedient when we hear the gospel. Along with that faith that we develop when we hear the gospel, we also receive the power of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 again. The Apostle Paul was directed to write to those brethren, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In other words, he'd gone other places preaching the gospel. I'm ready to go preach at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was no secret that the gospel was given to the Jews first. In fact, the Jews got to the point that they refused it, and so Paul says, hello, we turn to the Gentiles. We're going to find somebody that wants to hear it. We're going to find somebody that wants to hear the Word of God, that wants to believe it, that wants to obey it, that wants to become the children of God, and understand the power of a logical faith. That's because when the gospel is preached, the power of that gospel is available to those who have the faith to accept it. Those who have the desire to obey it according to God's plan. Now the question tonight is, do you have logical faith? Faith that can be explained. Faith that can be supported by the Word of God. If you have a logical faith, it will allow you to take the opportunity to obey the gospel plan of salvation as it is presented here in a few minutes. If you have a logical faith, it will allow you to take advantage of the graciousness of God because He's offered salvation to the penitent, erring Christian who has at one time rejected it. What is God's plan of salvation? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, that you had to be drawn by God. Man has conjured up all sorts of things relative to that, but we have to hear it. That's how we're drawn by God. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then notice what he says. This tells us how God draws us. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So if you heard the gospel, it is God's drawing you to do what he said to do. We also must believe. Jesus himself said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. A person also must repent. Acts 2:38, the very day in which the gospel was first preached in the New Testament age, as people heard it, they were pricked in their hearts. They said, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" And they said so because they knew they were convicted in their hearts. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But before they could receive that gift and before they could be baptized, they also had to be confessed before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, when the question was asked, "See, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And you know what happened immediately following that? Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Which brings us to the next step, and that's being baptized. And Jesus Christ himself said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. And then, as I often say, that's when the true work starts. Then we have to live faithfully until death. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we find about the exceeding great and precious promises in verse 4 that the apostle is directed to write. But I want you to look at what he says to do in order to receive these and maintain these exceeding great and precious promises. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And beside this, in other words, in addition to this, giving all diligence first. You have to do it diligently. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what if you had that faith one time, and you believed and you obeyed and you allowed yourself to stumble, and because you weren't diligent, because you didn't add to your knowledge, temperance, and on and on and on as we've read through these verses, where are you? Well, you do not have power that comes from a logical faith, because not technically, any way you look at it, you've forsaken God and you've forsaken His Word. But He is gracious. He's provided for His children a way of pardon, and that is to return to Him in repentance and prayer. Simon had become a child of God. Simon was known as a sorcerer in previous days, and was become a child of God, but then thought maybe he could buy the miraculous manifestation of the Spirit to get gain. And he was told what to do. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." If you have faith tonight, it is my desire that it is a logical faith, and that it has provided you with the desire to be faithful to God, to be obedient unto God. And we're going to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing the selected song, "What Will You Do With Jesus?" And one day you're going to find out what He'll do with you. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.